What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to orthosensi.com to learn more. That is orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis, there as always. Appreciate you tuning in to the show, and we have a lot to get to as always. Some good stuff as well, because we had six area runners compete at the cross country state finals over the weekend. We're going to start with that here in just a couple minutes time. Have a Switzerland County soccer duo that has made some college decisions. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Also have some other soccer stars in the area that received, we'll call it, all state honors. It essentially is. Being on an all district team makes you one of the best in the state. So we're going to talk about that. There's a young lady from Lawrenceburg High School that is getting set for her sophomore basketball season. She's one to keep an eye on this season and over the next couple of seasons. We'll hit on that. And then, of course, high school football, as we have area teams advancing on in their respective state tournaments. And some records being broken on Friday. I think you know where I'm heading with that. But without further ado, let's jump right into the show and talk a little cross country. Mention the six runners from right here in southeastern Indiana that competed at the IHSAA Boys and Girls Cross Country State Finals on Saturday. Laverne Gibson Champions Cross Country Course in Terre Haute. And leading that local contingent was East Central sophomore Callie Bentley. She placed 23rd out of 249 runners. I mentioned she is a sophomore. That is a great landing spot for her second year running at the varsity level, and she's 23rd out of 249 runners. Who knows where she goes from here, but a junior and senior season, look out for Callie. 18 minutes, 19 seconds, Callie's run there at the cross-country state finals. Her teammate, freshman Jenna Weiler, she came in 58th place with a time of 18 minutes and 58 seconds, so a really great showing from Jenna, as well as East Central's two girls really did an awesome job at the state finals. There was a Batesville duo there as well, Lexi Harris and Kaylin Beadle. They played placed 143rd and 165th respectively. Harris, just a sophomore, ran at a pace of 19 minutes 46 seconds, and then Beadle finished the race 20 minutes and 2 seconds. Congratulations to all four of those young ladies making it all the way to the state finals and representing their schools very, very well. In the boys' competition, Milan senior Ben Reilly, who we've talked about a ton this year, he was first place at a lot of different meets throughout the season. He finishes 101st out of 250 runners, 16 minutes and 14 seconds. Really good time there from Ben in his final race as a high school runner. And then you had East Central junior Braden Hatton. He placed 174th with a time of 16 minutes and 40 seconds. Again, all these times really, really excellent for these six runners. Those times pretty similar to what they've run throughout the season, which has gotten them very high in those particular races throughout the regular season and into the postseason. So again, six youngsters from southeastern Indiana going to the state finals. That is always such an awesome accomplishment, certainly a memory they will never forget. So congratulations to all six of them yet again. Just looking at kind of the overall state finals, Carmel won the boys state championship, average time of 15 minutes 33 seconds. It was Brebeuf Jesuit senior Cameron Todd who was the individual state champ, 14 minutes and 55 seconds. So he came in almost a couple minutes ahead of Ben Reilly, who's an exceptional runner. So just goes to show you what kind of runner Cameron Todd is there from Brebeuf Jesuit. Girls state championship team was Homestead and Indian Creek sophomore Libby Dowdy. The individual champ, her time was 17 minutes and 6 seconds. So there you go. There's the recap from the IHSAA Boys and Girls Cross Country State Finals. And now I want to talk a little high school soccer. Going to start with the two young ladies from Switzerland County that made their college decisions recently. You have Maddie Lavelle and Kenzie Taylor, both going to be moving on, playing at the collegiate level, of course. Maddie Lavelle committing to Franklin College, while Kenzie Taylor will attend Midway University. And Lavelle, one of the top players on the Lady Pacers defense. They only allowed 9 goals in 20 matches this season. Lavelle was a big part of that. As for Taylor, she was a part of this high-powered offense of the Lady Pacers. Among their leading scorers was 17 goals, also accounted for 5 assists, totaling 39 points. this past season in Switzerland County, went 18-2, won the ORVC title and a sectional championship to boot as well. So widely successful careers at the high school level for both Maddie Lavelle and Kenzie Taylor. We wish them good luck as they prepare to make the step to the collegiate ranks next fall. And while we're talking high school soccer, we have seven individuals that earned ISCA All-District honors. And I want to start on the boys' side of things. And I do want to mention I omitted Brendan Lewis from this list when I wrote the story. That was just an honest mistake. I happened to glance over his name, so I wanted to give him some special recognition here. Junior midfielder for the Trojans, was named first team All-District 4, helped lead EC to a 17-2-1 record, including an EIAC and sectional title. He scored double-digit goals and was among the team leaders in assists. And he's going to be a player to be reckoned with next season as a senior in the EIAC. Another returning star is Switzerland County junior Cooper Todd. He was named to the second team in District 4, and he finished the season with 26 goals and 4 assists. And through his junior season, this is a pretty awesome stat here, Todd leads all of the class of 2025, regardless of classification, 1A, 2A, 3A, in goals scored, with 74 to go along with 23 assists. So one of the top forwards in the state of Indiana. He's an absolute baller for the Pacers. On the girls' side of things, East Central duo of Olivia Hopper and Lexi Watkins named to the first team in District 3. The senior forwards helped lead the Lady Trojans to an EIAC and sectional title this season, and they are both future Division I talents. Hopper's going to leave East Central with the most goals, 72 goals to be exact, and most points in program history. She scored 23 times this year, had 23 assists. And for Lexi Watkins, she is EC's all-time leader in assists with 54. She assisted on 25 goals this season and scored a team-high 28 goals. Hopper will play at Indiana State while Watkins is committed to Ball State. Those programs getting two exceptional players who have been playing well at the varsity level in high school for quite some time, freshman year on. So congrats to those two young ladies on awesome high school careers. Looking forward to seeing what they do at the collegiate level. Had two Lawrenceburg defenders earning All-District honors. Sophomore Aubrey Labazo was selected to the first team in District 4, while junior Kelsey Offit was named second team. They anchored a Lawrenceburg defense that only allowed 14 goals in 22 matches en route to a sectional championship. Fell short of the EIAC title, with East Central going undefeated in conference play. But Aubrey and Kelsey look to lead the Lady Tigers again next year. They got plenty of talent coming back. They made a nice little run in the postseason. They should be lined up to have another exceptional season next fall. And Oldenburg Academy freshman Claire Neese rounded out the local selections, being placed on the District 4 second team. Huge first year at the varsity level, scored a team-high 28 goals while adding 8 assists. So she's on pace to become the all-time leading goal scorer in Oldenburg Academy history. She's likely to shatter that record by the time things are all said and done, particularly if she's able to duplicate what she did as a freshman, scoring 28 goals. If you even come close to duplicating that over next year, junior season, senior season, she's going to have over 100 goals. It would appear at least she has the opportunity to get to that number. So a lot of great soccer in the area this fall, and with postseason awards rolling in, I don't think we're done talking about it. Should have some All-State honors again to talk about in future weeks, so stay tuned for more on that. And I did mention a young lady from Lawrenceburg High School, as we are gearing up for the basketball season, and it won't be too long before we start welcoming in some area teams to preview their season right here on this very program. But the Lawrenceburg Tigers, they have a sophomore named Brooklyn Craig, one to watch over the next three seasons. Just last week, she was named to the Indiana Girls Basketball Recruiting Report's Top 100 Prospect List for the class of 2026, and the watch list is basically projections of prospects at the collegiate level. That's based on observation, evaluation of their games, workouts, and showcases that they have attended at club and high school events. And, of course, the IGBRR, they gather this input from coaches, trainers, peer evaluators from throughout the state. So, obviously, Brooklyn Craig has caught the eye of some of those evaluators. She was a key contributor for Zane White's Lady Tigers last year. averaged 6.2 points, 2.2 rebounds, and an assist and a half per game, and nearly a steal per game. She also led the team in charges with 21 and set the Lawrenceburg single-season record for three-point makes with 34. That touches my heart because I was a three-point shooter back in my day at Lawrenceburg, so hopefully Brooklyn continues to hone her craft there, and I'm going to have a chance to maybe break that record of her own over the next three seasons. But she has participated in some showcases. This is here over particular the IGBRR All Indiana Showcase Elite 100 event, and she averaged 14 and a half points per game over a three-game stretch there, playing against some really good competition. She also plays club basketball with Indiana Pride Extreme and had a really, really nice season there. They played like 50 games, and she was averaging near 10 points per game, kind of doing it all, assists, steals, charges. That's her game. She's going to do a little bit of everything, and that's why she was a key contributor as a freshman for Coach Zane White, and will likely have an increased role as a scorer for the Lady Tigers this season. They are losing their top scorer, already have due to graduation. Lizzie Reeder averaged about 15 points per game last season, so the Tigers will need a couple young ladies to step up and score the basketball more this year. It looks like Brooklyn Craig will have an opportunity to do that. Ball's going to be in her hand quite a bit as a guard, so look for her to have a big season as a sophomore. You have fellow sophomore Aubrey Labazo that helps make up one of the best backcourts in southeastern Indiana. Natalie Caniga, Cameron Ferreira, among the key contributors coming back for this Lawrenceburg team as well. So they certainly have some talent, and we're going to see what that talent can do on their opener Saturday, November 4th at North Decatur. And again, we will be chatting with the Lady Tigers. Looks like it's going to be not before the season, but we will definitely catch up with them in season. Early December, we have them scheduled to be on the show to talk about their season and their Hoops for Hope ball game against Rising Sun close to Christmas, and I can tell you that we do plan to broadcast that game from Lawrenceburg High School. I believe it is December 21st, so we will have some Lady Tigers basketball content coming your way on this show in December for sure, so stay tuned for more information on that. Speaking of Lady Tigers, we are going to be welcoming in the Lawrenceburg volleyball program next week on this show. Yes, I know the volleyball season has been over for a couple weeks for the Lady Tigers, but wanted to give them the opportunity to come in, talk about their successful season, winning the EIAC championship and a sectional title. So we'll spend about 15 minutes with the Lady Tigers next week right here on this particular program. Looking forward to that. When we come back, we're going to talk a little high school football to round out the show. Second half action of Crunch Time in 90 seconds. This is Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doc, let's start off by hearing a little bit about OrthoCincy and what services you provide to the community.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels, and then of course you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. Those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. You know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things.
And how about helping injured student athletes in the area?
The biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam, and even if we have to get next step something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's, you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And mm-hmm. So if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
That's a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. More Crunch Time now.
Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoCincy.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. Let's talk a little high school football, and I want to start with Josh Ringer, the senior running back star from the East Central Trojans, now the all-time leading rusher in program history. This is something we've been tracking for several weeks now, and knew that he had an opportunity to get this early in the postseason. It was just kind of the way the season was going for this East Central team. They were blowing out so many teams that Josh didn't simply get enough carries in some of the regular season games to get the record before they hit the postseason. Had they given him the carries in the second half of a lot of those games, he wouldn't have had to wait so long, but very circumstantial. But did break Andrew Wolf's record of 5,708 yards in that 56-20 win over Martinsville on Friday, and he did so by scoring on a 57-yard touchdown. So that's pretty cool. Sometimes you see records be broken like this, whether it be at the college or pro level. Maybe it's been at another high school that you've paid attention to, and it might come on a measly like 4-yard run, and it's still awesome. It's still a great accomplishment, but to see Josh do it on a 57-yard touchdown score, that just makes it all that much more cool, I guess. But finished the game with 325 yards, 7 touchdowns, broke his previous school record of 6 touchdown scores in a game, and his 7 touchdowns brought his yearly total to 43, so Josh broke his previous record of 39 single-season touchdowns as well. He now holds the school record for most points in a game. Well, actually, he broke that record, too. He did have that at 36. We'll bump that up to 42. He has the record for most points scored in a season, and he's got most career rushing touchdowns during the century mark there. So Josh Ringer, absolutely phenomenal. He's up to 5,910 career rushing yards, likely to go over 6,000 yards, perhaps as early as this week. He probably should be able yards to make that 6,000, as they're going to be taking on Greenwood in the sectional championship. But a phenomenal player, a phenomenal young man. We've had him on the show here before. Can't say enough about him and what he's been able to do on the field, and of course the character that he has on and off the field. And of course, Josh Ringer, as he goes, the East Central team goes as well. Mentioned the 56-20 win in the semifinals against Martinsville. This was their toughest competition since what, week 3, when they played Moeller? Only the second team to score double digits against the Trojans all season long. And when you look at this game, East Central, they had 558 yards total offense. Martinsville, 396. That's got to be up there for the most yards against this East Central defense this season. Martinsville passed for 276 yards. We're going to come back to that in just a moment, because East Central at 11-0, the number one team in 4A, hosting 6-5 Greenwood for the sectional title this Friday. Greenwood has two common opponents with EC. They defeated Martinsville week 3, 43-28, and then beat Connersville 49-20 in the opening round of the sectional. Greenwood has certainly played a strong schedule filled with 4, 5, and 6A teams. Their strength of schedule is 52nd in the state. That's great. East Central's is 104. I don't think that the strength of schedule is going to matter much in this particular game. Greenwood does enter the sectional title as the second lowest rated team left in Class 4A at 23rd overall. Of course, East Central being first. I will say this about Greenwood. I don't think they're going to win this game. I don't think they're going to come close to winning this game, but I do think they'll score some points similar to how Martinsville did. They have a tremendous quarterback in senior Brock Riddle. He's thrown for 2,777 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions this season. And the Woodmen also have run for over 2,000 yards, so they show you good balance on offense. They have two wide receivers that pose a threat, two wide receivers that are close to 1,000 yards as well. Amari Middleton, 48 receptions for 996 and 11 touchdowns, and Tanner Crouch also has caught 48 passes for 827 and 10 TDs. And considering Martinsville threw for 276 this past week, you know, or you think that Greenwood is going to try to attack this East Central defense through the air. I'm sure East Central is aware of that as well. Maybe their pass defense is better this week. I would say it probably will be, because if I know anything about this East Central team, they don't like that a team had 396 yards of total offense against them and 276 came through the air. So that's something they're going to be locking in on during practice this week. And of course, if you can get to the quarterback and affect his timing and rhythm, that can help your secondary as well. But I do think Greenwood can score a little bit. They obviously have this season 36.5 points per game, but it is their defense that won't allow them to advance any further in the state tournament, because they give up almost 40 points per game. And when you play a team like East Central, natural that has the firepower that they do, that is a recipe for disaster. So again, I think Greenwood scores some points, but they're going to give up a ton of points as well, especially with EC playing at home. So that EC high-powered offense should be too much for the Woodmen. So if East Central is able to advance on, we can take a look at the 4A bracket where you're down to the Sweet 16. Maybe an inevitable matchup with Evansville Wrights. They have certainly been one of the top-rated teams in Class 4A all season long. Number two in the poll, number three in the Sagarin. Wrights will play at Evansville Memorial. That is ranked number 14 in the Sagarin in 4A. So Wright's going to be the favorite there. They're on the road. East Central's at home, which means Evansville Wrights would be the host of the regional round, presumably next Saturday. So we'll see if that's how it shakes out. If you're an East Central fan and you don't want to travel to Evansville, then you should be rooting for Memorial. That looks like that would be the easier game on paper. But regardless, the road's going to get tougher each and every week now for this East Central team. They are still the favorite in Class 4A. And it's that old adage from philosopher Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now, East Central is the man as the defending 4A state champs. Looking at the top half of the bracket, New Pal, number two in the Sagarin. They're going to play Mount Vernon Fortville, Brebeuf Jesuit, and Mooresville also in that section of the state. So perhaps a New Pal in the semi-state, if you kind of want to look forward, that could be a really fantastic game, should it get to that. Looking on the other side of the bracket, Leo is the top-ranked team there, number five in the Sagarin. You also have number seven Northwood taking on number nine Northridge. So many of the top teams still in it in 4A. Some of the teams that are out, Pendleton Heights, they were number eight in the Sagarin. They lost to Greenfield Central in the first round of sectional play. Greenfield Central, number six, they lost to New Pal last week. And Ron Colley, number 15, they were knocked off by Mooresville this past Friday. On the other side of the bracket, East Noble, number four, they lost to Leo. So you do have a couple of top teams, Jasper being another one that lost a close one to Evansville Memorial. They were number 10 in the Sagarin. So really about four or five contenders, or teams that thought that they could make a little bit of a run out early in the 4A bracket. So certainly keeping our eye on East Central, and that Wrights game, that's looking like a good one. Don't worry, we're going to get to some East Central coverage for sure coming up as they advance on in the state tournament. Let's jump over to Class 3A Sectional 31 semifinals. Had the pleasure of calling the Batesville-Lawrenceburg game with my good friend Chuck Thomas, and it was the Bulldogs coming away with the win 20-14, surviving and advancing after the Tigers made their comeback bid in the second half. Everything, for the most part, went Batesville's way in the first half. Tigers did open the game strong. They got the ball, went down the field in 14 plays, all runs, score a touchdown, go up 7-0. But Batesville answered with a long opening drive of their own, and then they were aided by a 9-yard punt from the Tigers and an interception, and they were able to capitalize for 13 points, taking a 20-7 lead into halftime. I will say this about Lawrenceburg. They made some magnificent defensive adjustments and held Batesville scoreless in the second half, but the offense could only muster one second-half score. That coming off a Hayden Saylor 37-yard reception. It was similar to his first-round touchdown reception against Centerville. Runs a route to the middle of the field, made a man miss, and then was able to use his track speed to outrun everybody. And the Tigers certainly had their chances down the stretch. There was a couple plays that they'll want back. They had a 4th-and-10 late in the fourth quarter. Keaton McGrath makes the catch, but from my vantage point, he bobbled the ball at the line of scrimmage, and by the time he regained control of it and was tackled, he was a yard short. They measured. Batesville got the ball back on downs, and then Lawrenceburg was still able to get the ball back. I think there was about a minute 40 left on the clock. First play from scrimmage, Logan Ahouse has the pocket collapse on him. He tries to step up in the pocket, has the ball stripped. Batesville comes up with it around midfield, and then they just put a knee on it. Four plays in a row. A little controversy at the end, as there was about a 1 second differential with the game clock and the play clock, and it seemed to me and a lot of people there that maybe Lawrenceburg should have had 1 second on the clock to try a Hail Mary to tie the game at the end, but the referee, from my understanding, said that the game clock had gone to zero. That was the reason that Lawrenceburg didn't get the ball and get that one chance at one final play. And again, that would have been, you know, the odds of them connecting on the Hail Mary, getting the 6 points and the extra point to win 21-20 on a walk-off. They're not very high, but you still want to have that chance if there's 1 second on the clock. But that takes nothing away from Batesville. They were the better team. They made less mistakes. They didn't have as many penalties, didn't turn the ball over, and they were able to win the game on their home field at 20-14. And we'll advance on to play Indian Creek in the championship game. Indian Creek dispatches of Franklin County 37-0 after Franklin County had that awesome first-round win against South Dearborn, a game that maybe they weren't supposed to win. They weren't picked to win that game. If you look at the Herald predictions and the Sagarin ratings, they lost to South Dearborn big in the regular season. They have a near 40-point turnaround to win 25-7 in the opening round. So they were kind of playing with house money against Indian Creek, but the Braves just beat them up on the ground for 245 yards on 37 carries, 6.6 yards per carry. Their quarterback also accounted for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns, while Franklin County managed just 117 yards of total offense. So their season comes to an end with a record of 4-7. They do have a young team, that being Franklin County. I do expect plenty of growth from the Wildcats between now and next season. They battled a lot of injuries this season, so I'm excited to see where they go from this year to next year with all that experience they will have coming back. Now, looking at Batesville and Indian Creek, they did meet all the way back in week one. Batesville ran all over them to get the win. The final score in that one was 42-28. Gage Pullman had a big game there, 178 yards. And this game could be pretty good. Both teams are pretty balanced on offense. Both can throw it. They certainly want to run the ball. I think Batesville's defense might be the difference in this game. They were really stout up front against Lawrenceburg. That front seven or eight can really limit the run game, and they affected the passer really well against Lawrenceburg. And if they're able to do that again against Indian Creek, I think they'll score more than enough points to advance on to the regional round. And similar to looking at the 4A bracket, let's look at the 3A bracket. Got Batesville that's bumped up to number 6 in the Sagarin in 3A after beating Lawrenceburg. Top 10 team in 3A that is eliminated. A couple other good schools are out as well. Indian Creek checks in at number 20 in the Sagarin. You got Heritage Hills at number 5, and they're taking on Scottsburg, ranked 43 in the Sagarin. So looks like, on paper, Batesville and Heritage Hills would be the matchup in the regional round. Batesville would host the regional versus Heritage Hills, but would and that is a likely outcome, but again, that's why you play the game. So we'll see how it all shakes out on that same side of the state tournament in 3A, but on the top half of the bracket, Vincennes and Gibson Southern. That is a big-time matchup between number 8 and number 3. You also have number 2 Tri-West and number 16 Monrovia. Again, these numbers based on the Sagarin. So there's going to be some stiff competition on this 3A side of the bracket, but it looks like Batesville matches up pretty well with the rest of the teams there. I think Lawrenceburg would have too if they would have advanced. Other side of the bracket, it's all about Indianapolis Chatard. They've been the top team in 3A, won the state title last year. They've already gone through number 10, Tippecanoe Valley, and number 4, Garin Catholic. They are the prohibitive favorite on that side of the bracket and should not be shocked to see Chatard playing for the state title on Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday to be exact. But will the Batesville Bulldogs be there? Is this their year to make a run into the state title game? It looks like they have just as good a shot as anybody on that side of the bracket. And finally, we want to take a look at 1A and the happenings there. The Milan Indians on to the sectional championship. 14-8, hard-fought win over Tri. Heavy run attack for the Indians in this game. 36 carries, 237 yards. Mason Green leading the way. 12 touches for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wanted to give Jeremiah Johnson a shout-out. Helped flip the field position. 2 punts for 74 yards, 44 long. Also had one down inside the 20, so that shouldn't go unnoticed, especially in a close game like this. Defense came up big as well with 2 INTs, Logan Burton and Dylan Offill. They have been 2 guys that have been ball hawking in the secondary for Milan all season long. So that was the big difference in this game, was the special teams flipping the field able to get some massive turnovers and then running the ball the way they did, controlling the clock, that's always a good thing as well. And it's their old nemesis, North Decatur, which they will meet in the sectional championship. The Chargers take care of Edinburgh 63-0 in the other semifinal. Going to be a quick game on Friday, we assume, with both teams being run-heavy. North Decatur, they average 219 yards per game on the ground, Milan 266. Again, they'll maybe throw it a handful of times, just to keep the defense honest, but controlling the ball, limiting turnovers, and winning with special teams are going to be some big keys to the game for both of these schools. Milan looking to snap a four-game postseason losing streak to North Decatur and hoping to win their first sectional championship, I believe, since 2016. And that has been the big goal of this team. We've already talked about it in past weeks. We'll see if they can make that dream come true. That's essentially what they're after this year, is a sectional championship, and then all bets are off after that. You get to the regional round, you give it your best shot, you see where you end up going. But this is going to be an awesome game. We got two teams ranked in the top 15 in Class 1A, and we are glad to announce that we will be at Milan this Friday for this sectional championship game between the Indians and the Chargers. And looking at this 1A bracket, the final 16, 12 of the top 13 teams in the state, according to the Sagarin, remain, 14 of the top 17. Milan checking in at 11th. North Decatur is 13th. And the winner there would play Sheridan or Monroe Central in the regional. Sheridan is the higher-ranked team there at 9th in the Sagarin. So for Milan, they're hosting. Sheridan is hosting as well. I do believe Milan would be the road team next week at the regional round should they play Sheridan. Of course, they got to get through North Decatur first. On that same side of the bracket, number one, Indian Lutheran, the defending champion. They take on Covenant Christian. You also have Providence versus Springs Valley. Providence and Indy Lutheran, that's got a chance to be a really good game in the regional should they match up. But other side of the brackets loaded with top teams as well. Adams Central, number 2. Carroll, number 3. Madison Grant, number 6. Triton North Judson at 7 and 8. So lots of really good teams left at 1A. It's Indy Lutheran's tournament to lose. They've been the highest rated team by a long shot all season long, and of course the defending champions. But once you get to the final 16, especially if you win the sectional championship this Friday and you get to the final 8, everybody's going to be a believer at that point. So looking forward to seeing how it shakes out with Milan and North Decatur this Friday. And again, you will hear that game right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. We also wanted to give a shout out to Harrison Wildcats football. They have advanced in the Ohio State tournament with a big win, 51-6 over Sydney. So they are moving on to the next round, and they are going to be, let's see, who are they taking on here? Northmont. Yes, I kind of slipped my mind there for a minute. So it should be a pretty good game there. You got the number 4 and number 5 seeds in that particular region facing off for a chance to go to the next round. Harrison has been playing mighty well as of late, so good luck to Coach Rehage and his Wildcats as they look to keep their season alive this coming Friday. I have run myself out of time here on this great show. I've had a lot of fun with Crunch Time over the years. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate great sponsors, Ortho Cincy, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. Very quickly, I think the Bengals are back. Joe Burrow was awesome yesterday against the 49ers. Defense came up big as well. They got a big one against Buffalo at home this Sunday. Hopefully they can keep it rolling. I really think the Bengals are back. FC Cincinnati, a winner in their first home playoff match yesterday evening. 3-0 win over the New York Red Bulls. I have no idea why they're playing a best of three in the first round, but the orange and blue off to a good start. That's how we'll end it here on this Monday evening. Thanks again for listening to Crunch Time, only on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.